You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that lost two of its regular hosts, but we picked up a stray off the street. I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam. Cody and Samantha aren't here this week, but we called in a ringer. So everybody, I'd like to introduce Jordan Taylor. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
All right. Awesome. So, hey, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out. Who wants to go first?
So I was looking at myself in the mirror this morning, so I was checking that out.
Hey, oh, nice jokes. All right.
I went and saw Godzilla King of the Monsters.
So did we.
So did we.
Yay, something we can talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about Godzilla. What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
I like big, dumb monster fights, but I could care less about the humans.
Right? That was like my biggest thing with like the last one, was not enough monsters. I rewatched the first one.
The 2014 one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I rewatched that one, and I forgot how much they cut away from the sweet, sweet monster action.
There's like almost no monsters in that. It's basically just the third act. And
it's not even like the third act. It's like the last 20 minutes of the whole movie is like you get Godzilla.
Yeah, I remember walking out of that movie and feeling like I wish I would have just watched Pacific Rim again because it would have been more interesting.
Pacific Rim's a great, dumb movie.
It is.
Yeah. But no, this one, again, it definitely added more monster fights, and
well,
that's good.
Yeah, I would hope.
Yeah, glad to see Ghidorah and Rodan and all of them. I actually liked that they called Ghidorah Monster Zero for
the first
half of the movie. That's a nice callback to the originals. And
I was so... How spoilery do we want to get on this?
You know, let's get fairly spoilery. Let's not like... I mean, how much spoiler are you going to give for like a Godzilla movie? Oh, they fight at the end.
Yeah, true. And I guess, it was kind of big, but not as big as, say, something like Avengers or another Marvel movie or something.
And it's not getting huge...
It definitely felt like it was a movie that was made for, like, us who like that genre of film.
Basically. So, yeah, let's get spoiler with it. What the heck?
Spoiler warning for Godzilla King of the Monsters, people. So what I was going to say is I was actually surprised that they called out and said Ghidorah was from space.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wow, they actually did it.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to. I thought there was going to be some weird terrestrial version or purpose for it.
I thought they were going to go the Muto route where it's like, oh, it's just, hey, there's some monsters from Earth.
Yeah. Nope. They're like, nope. He straight up fell from the stars.
Yeah. I was sad that Mothra died. I liked her the best.
Yeah, but it's not the first time Mothra has went poof in a movie.
That was kind of Mothra's whole deal, is that Mothra would always start whatever movie she was in as like... larval state and then like
grow up
into the moth.
Mm-hmm.
So they could always come back and explain that. Oh yeah. That's her whole deal, is that she just keeps coming back.
Yeah. She's like a phoenix type of bug.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I love the subtle nod to the tiny,
the tiny twins. Yeah. The ladies that are, they're all twins, her sister and her, and their parent.
Yeah.
And her mom.
From the original, from the Mothra thing. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
And like I did like the covers of some of the classic songs from the films, like the Mothra theme.
Yeah.
And the Godzilla, like, bah, 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 bah.
Well, they did that a little bit in the first one as well.
Yeah, but way more.
Yeah, they definitely hit it a lot better with this one.
Rodan looked like Rodan.
Yeah. Rodan reminded me so much of Starscream, which is funny because he didn't say it. Like, none of the monsters said anything.
But he might as well have been Starscream.
But like the way he, like, the mouth always kind of curled up in that weird, like, creepy smile, and was like always like so like cowardly whenever he's like sucking up to whoever was the alpha. Yeah, reminded me so much of Starscream from Transformers. Also on the same line, when they had the Mothra and Rodan fight, and Mothra stabs him through the chest with the
stinger,
and they have the horror movie shot. Where like the final girl is like stabbing getting the final kill on the
whatever,
the monster or whatever, and like it holds for a beat like Mothra was going to say some like cool one liner, but it doesn't. It just goes.
Yeah, I liked the monster designs for everybody.
Mm.
I thought they felt all really.
The updates were good,
like very accurate. Mm-hmm. I mean, Godzilla was still a little chunky.
Yeah,
but I liked that from the last movie.
Oh, sure.
I didn't care for his, like, rhino elephant-esque legs. Like, they seem, like, real thick with no toes. Mm-hmm. But anything is better than the weird big chinned iguana from the Matthew Broderick one.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
God, I hate that movie.
Yeah. I like that they name checked a lot of old monsters from when they're showing the map of like the 17 different creatures that are popping up.
Yeah.
They name check a lot of them. I wish that they would have used some of those as like the ones that were sprouting up, like the spider and the mammoth thing. Those are aren't tied into any previous thing.
No, the spider
is brand new.
The spider is in Monster Island.
Kaijupedia says that it is. Well, the spider, that's true. The spider did pop up in Monster Island, but like the mammoth thing isn't from any previous Godzilla movie. They could have used like any of the other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million of those monsters. They could have used any of them.
Yeah, but most of those you only really see in Monster Island, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I liked how the nuclear meltdown Godzilla was a nice touch from Final Wars.
Yes, yes. I thought he looked like that. I also thought he looked kind of like Space Godzilla a little bit. If he had those
giant crystals.
The only thing he was missing were those giant shoulder, dumb-looking shoulder pad crystals.
Yeah.
So, if you notice, we're talking an awful lot about the monsters and not saying a single thing about the people.
Or the plot.
The plot was very paper thin.
Yes, it was.
The plot is, hey, we have an excuse to go to this other island, and here's a big monster.
Well, and the main bad character's reasoning was dumb, and it sort of ruined the whole plot.
And the fact that the main villain was actually like was a whole red herring thing.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, her whole thing about like, oh no, my kid died because of Godzilla, so I'm going to release more monsters so they kill more people. Like, that's stupid logic.
And then the minute she released more monsters, she goes, oh no, we've released more monsters.
Wait, no, they're killing people. What have I done?
Like, it's like they realized, like, oh wait, we're not doing this anymore. This is Monster Zero's fault. He's waking them all up himself.
But Monster Zero was doing the exact thing that they wanted to do, so...
Well, no, because the whole thing like they kept talking about was the fact that they were going to wake them up one at a time.
Oh,
and like, then
yeah,
Ghidorah is like, nope, everybody up. We're going to camp.
Huh. But yeah, the human stuff was just not
stupid.
Cool. The main guy looked like he was in the process of pooping himself.
He did make like, some stupid
every
faces.
Every scene, he was like...
And I loved how he like was like so angry against Godzilla for like half the movie. And then he's like, you know, I think I need to root for the big lizard now.
I hate Godzilla, but he must win.
Yeah, pretty much.
The only human I really cared about was
Ken Watanabe's character.
Ken Watanabe, yeah.
He definitely had the most range of anybody in the film, which is hard to say for a Ken Watanabe in any film.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the dude.
Hey, this is a big summer for Watanabe, though, because he's also the chief of police in Detective Pikachu.
This is true.
Yeah, he's doubling up on those paychecks right now.
That's pretty awesome. Getting that nerd check.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And then, like, the range of emotion he had when his assistant from the first movie got eaten by Ghidorah, like straight up right there.
Oh yeah, was she in the first movie?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
the girl that got squished.
She got bit. She got like ate by the head.
Oh, okay, that's not who I'm thinking of. I was thinking of the dark-haired scientist that got squished when they were in like Antarctica. She's the lead in Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Or as I know her better from the Jane Austen Persuasion.
Oh yes.
I do like Jane Austen movies.
Mm-hmm.
Millie Bobby Brown's character was completely unneeded. Unnecessary.
Which one was that one?
That's the girl. The young girl.
The one that eventually lures Ghidorah to Boston.
And that could have been anybody.
Mm.
That they could have eliminated that character completely and had the female lead, whatever
like
her name is.
Flip-flop her poor point.
Yeah. Right. That's...
Yeah. But, like we said, the human parts of these movies are stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But there was certainly a lot more monster...
Definite more monster. Really good music.
Yeah. Hey, did you notice that they mentioned Kong Skull Island a lot?
They did. And you see
King
Kong.
Do you notice? Because they drilled it in like five or six times.
Yeah.
That they said, hey, there's also... All these monsters are popping up and also Kong Skull Island.
The fact that Kong never woke up. He never went to sleep. He's just been there.
Yeah. It's like, hey, by the way, did you know Kong's in these movies.
He's patiently waiting for his sequel.
Did you all see Kong Skull Island? Because that's in this... universe.
I like that movie.
Oh, it's fine. It's a fine movie, but it just seems like they really, really made it a point to remind everyone that that movie exists.
Well, I definitely think the next one's going to probably be the Godzilla versus King Kong film
for sure.
That they've been building since.
Yep.
since that after credit scene of Kong Skull Island, of you get the Godzilla roar.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Which,
and I guess one of the older characters in Monarch is a different actor, but he's playing an older version of one of the guys
from Kong Skull Island.
From Skull Island. Mm. Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched that movie.
Yeah, and a the fact bit
that,
for me too.
And yeah. the fact that when I rewatched the 2014 Godzilla, I forgot that actually Monarch was mentioned as an organization in that film.
Mm-hmm.
I completely glossed over that. So then when I watched Kong Skull Island, I never really put the two together until the end credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Would you say that this movie's worth checking out for
definitely,
folks?
I definitely say it's worth it. It's got a lot of stuff going on and a lot of neat visuals. And
mm-hmm.
like
Oh no, sorry.
Go ahead. No, you.
I was just gonna say maybe don't pay full like price for it.
I mean, I paid $5.
That's what we did.
That's what we did as well. Yeah. Oh no, we weren't paying full price for this movie.
No.
I mean, it's a good movie, and
it's good enough.
Yes. Yes.
I'll put it that way. It's good enough.
They're certainly doing a better job building their kaiju universe movies better than DC is building their cinema.
Or the dark universe.
That's dead. Like, yeah. dead.
You know which one that one was, right?
No.
The Mummy?
Oh, no. Oh that yes. was the worst.
Yeah. yeah. That was supposed to be the first in a multi-movie.
Well, that's
right, because Jekyll was in there. And yeah. Technically,
Dracula Untold was supposed to be the first
one. It was supposed to, and then it got retconned out because no one liked it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
They had two first movies in the monster universe, and neither of them were good.
They both were not great.
Yep, you had the Tom Cruise Mummy movie with references to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
mm-hmm.
and references to vampires, because there was a bunch of vampire skulls on in cabinets and stuff. And,
yeah.
And it's just like, ugh, that movie was so bad. And then then Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man, and the whole thing is just dead.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
We've talked about this before when I watched The Mummy.
Mm-hmm. Like, what would they have... Okay, would they have introduced, like, Frankenstein into that? Would they have used Frankenstein, like... Was it Unchained or Unbound or the one where Two-Face from Dark Knight was a very bad Frankenstein?
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, everyone has, because it's very bad.
I don't think I ever actually watched it. I saw the trailers for it. I'm like, ooh, that looks bad. And then I skipped it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't watch it.
Oh, man.
Is there a way that, like, shared universes are starting to
become the norm?
They're unfortunately kind of getting a little too played out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that they could, like, do a universal monster shared universe and not make it weird and bad at this point? Can they course correct at this point, do you think?
Make a live action Shaggy and the Reluctant Werewolf? We're all just racing buggy cars.
Oh, jinkies.
I honestly don't know. I don't know if people really care that much about the universal monster movies.
You know what? I would almost agree with you, except people sure did love Shape of Water, and that is the closest thing to a Gilman movie we're going to get.
Mm, or the Abe Sapien spinoff film.
Although we were supposed to get a Creature of the Black Lagoon movie with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't decide whether she was going to play the human character.
Or the fish?
Or the fish character.
Why not both? Why not throw the wrench in there? She's both.
Yeah. I mean, CGI it up. Why
she's
not?
She's a werefish.
She's the whole cast.
Yeah.
It's the Meet the Clumps of Universal Monsters.
Oh, my God. Just make it a reboot of Zat. Have you guys ever heard of Zat?
No.
That sounds something awful you'd watch.
It is a bad, bad 60s movie where a scientist turns himself into a catfish monster. And
wow.
Yeah, it's very bad. And he, like, gets depressed halfway through and, like, starts, like, just lackadaisically, like, destroying his lab. And a lot of the prints have, like, bad matting. So, like, the guy in the suit, you could tell, like, one day he just felt like being relaxed. So, because the matting is weird, you see his feet where normally you wouldn't. There'd usually be the black bar on the top and bottom. And he's just wearing sneakers because he just wanted to relax that day. Yeah.
Grab Marv Tarkin in his slippers.
Yeah, right.
Because he hated those military boots.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Oh, it's...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do like the Universal Monster movies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe if they would have did it in the same vein as, like, when they did, like, the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Mm-hmm. That would have been the time to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that movie is fun and great. And I don't know, couldn't have tied it in with Bram Stoker or anything like that. But.
I was actually just going to say, why not tie it in with the Bram Stoker Dracula? Get Gary Oldman and Brendan Fraser in there, up in the mix, and like...
Keanu Reeves is a Renfield.
There was a Frankenstein movie with Robert De Niro as the monster. It wasn't great, but it exists, and it was around that same time period. Tie all that together, because at least you'd have something.
If you could do it with that same kind of feel as the original Mummy, you could probably reboot that series. But the problem with the Tom Cruise Mummy is that it was real dark and gross, it was too scary. Yeah, and then I don't think you're gonna
dumb.
Also dumb and badly acted. But I mean, I don't think anybody wants to see an actual scary Frankenstein movie.
No.
But if you could get some jokes in there.
Like tongue in cheek, like the Mummy,
make a Mummy, because the mummy does have its cool action scenes.
Sure.
And actually makes you think Brendan Fraser could be an action movie star.
Listen, that Mummy movie is more of an Indiana Jones movie than Crystal Skull.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, too bad the other Mummy movies aren't that great.
Oh, the
Mummy 2, and then the
Dragon Mummy,
the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Yeah,
which then the Mummy 2 spawned the whole Scorpion King side franchise. Well,
that's unfortunate.
The fact that they did another Scorpion King recently that doesn't even have The Rock in it.
Had Billy Zane in it.
Hey, remember when he was the Phantom?
Oh, good times.
Back when pulp movies were coming out, like the Phantom and The Shadow.
The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer.
Rocketeer's pretty great, though.
Rocketeer is great.
I do love Rocketeer. It made me want a jetpack so bad and to punch Nazis.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The bad guy in The Rocketeer. Timothy Dalton is so good in that as like a Errol Flynn stand-in.
Yeah.
He is so good in that. It's great.
So that was back of like fun, campy 90s.
See, that's the thing.
Pseudo superhero movies. Like The Mummy and stuff. It was great.
You need to bring the camp back.
Yeah, if you're going to have like a... You can't do these kind of movies seriously. You got to be goofy with it. You got to be tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Like one eye winking at the camera and the other eye like, hey, this is a real thing. Wink! You know?
Yeah,
like,
make this stuff. Just make some dumb jokes. Like Benny. Benny was one of the best parts of The Mummy.
Benny was great. Yeah. I wish that actor did more.
Right?
Yeah. You know, the first thing I saw him in was in a horror movie. I don't watch a ton of horror movies, but there's a... Have you ever heard of the people inside the walls or the children inside the walls,
or was that the
children under the staircase,
the people under the stairs?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, with the weird mutants in the basement.
Yeah, Benny played Roach, the one that escaped from under the stairs into the walls.
Right, the heroic one.
Yeah.
Man, that's an interesting movie.
It is. Ice-T was in that. Was it Ice-T or Ice Cube? It's one of those two.
Or LL Cool J. one of those cold themed rappers.
Yeah, which one was the one that was in Are We There Yet? Ice Cube.
Yep.
That's Ice Cube. Ice Cube was in it very briefly. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Oh man, we have dominated this with Godzilla and other talk.
Yeah. Do you have another really quick check 'em?
Not really, no.
Jordan, do you have another check 'em out?
I'm halfway through season 8 of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that real quick.
Wait, which
it's the first Capaldi season.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can talk about this one.
I am not loving Capaldi as the Doctor.
He gets better. The writing.
Does he?
That writing in that first season's really bad.
Yeah?
Season 9's where he really kind of picks up, right?
Yeah, his stride's really there.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked Tennant so much and Smith so much.
Oh,
don't get me wrong.
I love Tennant, but I liked Capaldi as a kind of a back to the grumpy older Doctor.
Yeah, I guess probably because I started with the reboot. I've never seen the old one or the original ones, but I don't know. Like, I'm still watching them, and like the shows are still good, but
we still got Clara, right?
Yeah, but she's been kind of oddly wishy-washy lately because now Danny Pink is in the mix there.
I don't care for him.
Do not like Danny Pink, and he only gets worse as that season goes on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Yes. Yeah, but then we get Missy.
Missy is pretty
great.
Missy's
the best.
Don't spoil it, because I don't think you're at the point.
No, Missy's the best, though.
Okay, I don't think I've seen any with her yet.
Yeah, she's not toward the end, though.
Okay. They teased her in the first episode.
Oh,
and then...
she has shown up a couple times, but they just, like, she's just kind of
there.
The end thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, the writing definitely gets better. Like that first episode, and they added like cartoony sound effects and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I was so angry.
Yeah, that weird clown hammer, like when he gets bonked in the head or something.
Yeah.
It's been a little rough.
It definitely gets a lot better.
Okay, good to know. I'll stick with it then.
The only other thing I've really done was the other night at work, I had some downtime, and I got to rewatch the movie Ed Wood. Tim Burton.
I haven't watched that in forever.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I love that movie. It's barely a biopic. Like, it's not really.
Yeah.
They introduce some of the ideas, like the way Ed Wood met Bela Lugosi, and you know, did Plan 9 and that sort of thing. But like the timeline is super far off, and everything is like way heightened. It's like filmed like it was a movie from back then. Like.
Right.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp probably doing one of his best performances, the ones that I like the best, right? Everything is delivered like this, and we're gonna put on a show. It's gonna be great, everybody. And like everybody is just doing so well, and I mean, like, you know, Martin Landau is great as Bela Lugosi.
Mm-hmm.
Like super good. Bill Murray, like, kind of slumming it a little bit, but he's there and he's doing great.
Yeah.
Is it black and white?
It's black and white.
Yeah, I remember thinking that was interesting that they took that route to make it feel like it was actually from that time period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another black and white film that Johnny Depp did back in the day was called Dead Man.
Yeah, I've seen Dead Man.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a weird kind of Western.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
Yeah, and that's kind of what put us a bunch of folks off when Ed Wood was first
released. Because Dead Man?
Because people saw it and like, oh, it's another Johnny Depp black and white movie. This is going to be weird like Dead Man.
It wasn't like good weird either. It wasn't like an Edward Scissorhands kind of. It's like there are some things that are kind of problematic, and I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah. You know, I actually go back and forth between Ed Wood and Pee Wee's Big Adventure as my favorite Tim Burton movie, honestly, which is weird because those are like, at the outset, they're not very Tim Burton-y.
This
like,
is true.
Most folks think of like, oh, Edward Scissorhands or Batman or like some of the more modern stuff.
Sleepy Hollow.
But go back and watch some of those things. There's some weird stuff in both Ed Wood and in Pee-wee's.
It's back before he went like full Burton.
Before
it's baby Burton.
Well, yeah, back when before he cared more about his artistic vision versus his artistic image.
See, I don't think it's that as much as it was back before studios gave him carte blanche to just do whatever, where he still had to kind of rein it in a little bit because producers and like studios were kind of like, well, this is kind of weird, but all right.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you get to like Alice in Wonderland or like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is just
the worst.
I mean, that movie has some good ideas.
The Oompa Loompas should have carried that movie away.
Hey, Deep Roy did a great job as he was putting in the work of 10 people because he was literally 10 people.
Yeah. I liked the kiss sequence.
Yeah.
In that movie.
That was pretty good. You know, that movie had some pretty interesting ideas about getting into Wonka's dad.
Yeah.
As like a kind of super serious dentist type. And I mean, Christopher Lee, you can't be Christopher
exactly.
Lee.
Exactly.
But like, yeah, that movie just wasn't.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
Hate that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that one, or if I have, it was forgettable enough.
It came out before Alice in Wonderland when he was the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, I liked the first Alice in Wonderland, but mostly for the costuming and stuff.
Oh yeah, the costume is good, but it's another one of those, I'm Tim Burton, and this is my girlfriend Helena Bonham Carter, and here's my boyfriend Johnny Depp.
Look at me, I'm weird and artsy.
We're doing weird things, because it's weird times.
Although, you know, I haven't seen Dumbo, and I usually, I usually don't care so much about, like, the Disney live-action remakes of things, but I would be willing to give Dumbo a shot, because there's some, in the original cartoon, there's at least enough weird visual stuff, like that, the pink elephant, like, hallucination sequence is enough to go, okay, I wonder what Tim Burton does with this. It's probably not what my brain thinks it should be, but in my mind's eye, it seems pretty cool.
Sure, it was trippy and weird in the Disney original, so I'm sure Tim Burton can handle that part pretty well, but also I just have always hated Dumbo.
Well, there's not much story to Dumbo. I don't know how they would be able to.
I was never a fan of Dumbo either.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, they would have to, like, either that movie's criminally short, or they would have had to add like a whole secondary plot to Dumbo.
Well, it's got those little kids in it now, right? I think those kids are part of, like, they're probably...
It's got the kids versus the mouse.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
They've got peoples in it now.
No, yeah.
And
good.
That angry...
The girl gives Dumbo the feather instead of the mouse.
Yeah, right. So now there's people characters.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't know.
I'm just waiting for Steve Irwin to pop up in the Lion King movie.
Steve Irwin?
It's a joke of adding a human...
Isn't he dead?
Yeah, a human character to a movie that doesn't have any human characters in it.
He just walks through. He's like, crikey!
How could you call that movie a live-action movie?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the part that gets me mad.
It's not. It's another animated film.
Yeah.
And at that point, what's the point? Yeah. What's the point?
Right.
All right. Well, hey, we've gone ahead and made it to break, so let's go ahead and stop, listen to a little bit of music, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Hey everybody, we're back. That was a cover of the Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla by Bear McCreary featuring Serge Tankian.
Something like that.
Famous from being the lead guy from System of a Down and then his solo stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember his solo stuff from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's been more than a few years ago.
Honestly, listening to it, it doesn't sound that much different than System of a Down.
That's very true. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious why we played that.
Yep, it's from the new Godzilla soundtrack, and mm-hmm. it's a good cover.
I like the original song as well.
Oh, I do too.
They're both good. Yep.
So yeah, let's go ahead and get into some news, and I think we're going to go ahead and do the big one first.
Yep.
So this past week, Game Freak and Nintendo put out a 16-minute Pokemon Direct. The directs are kind of like their pre-recorded press conferences, basically, mm-hmm. that they do every once in a while. A lot of the times Nintendo does theirs kind of ahead of E3, since E3 is next week.
Mm-hmm.
So also, hey, next week, get ready. A lot of
video game news.
A lot of game news. It's the San Diego Comic Con of video games, basically.
Yep.
But anyway, there was some Pokemon news, and they're talking about the brand new pair of games that's going to be out for the Switch, Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's talk about some of the things they talked about.
Well, being this is the first mainline Pokemon game that is on a home console instead of a handheld,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a big thing.
It's kind of a big deal.
And they're definitely trying some new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the, well, first off, they gave a lot more detail of the region that mm-hmm. the game is going to be set in. Each game's region is kind of very, very loosely based on like actual real world areas.
Yeah.
This generation is
the UK.
The UK, basically. Woo. Yeah, a lot of really cool, like, ivy-covered buildings and something that very clearly looked like Big Ben.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the main outfits they keep showing for a trainer is, like, a little Scottish hat and plaid skirt and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A lot of bagpipe music kind of filtering into the normal Pokemon music.
Mm-hmm. A lot of soccer-looking stuff in the battlefields.
Yeah, a lot of soccer-looking
stuff. The big Pokemon gyms are these huge... audience-filled
arenas.
Yeah, basically. And they look like soccer pitches. They look mm-hmm. like soccer pitches you'd see in the places of the world where soccer is a big, big thing.
Yeah.
And even the outfits that you see, like the lead trainers mm-hmm. wear, look a lot like soccer uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Kind of all variations of that. Like the super like main guy you're supposed to beat, Leon.
Yeah, the champion, the national champion or whatever.
Looks like if David Beckham wore like a king's cape.
Yeah.
And a dumb hat.
In a beard that was drawn on with an eyebrow pencil.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty, yeah.
When will Pokemon get facial hair right?
Not this time.
I want a bearded trainer, darn it.
That would be pretty great. Do you remember in X and Y, like, you could add, like, mustaches and beards to your trainer, but they were, like, pencil thin?
They looked like when you add facial hair to your Nintendo Miis.
Yeah, kind of. They're, like, these little tiny, aww, dirty, like...
discolored parts.
Gross. Oh yeah. Your face is just kind of dirty.
Hobo trainer.
Yeah.
But to be fair, if you really think about traveling Pokemon trainers, they are essentially hobos.
Oh yeah, no. they have no home. They just walk around and fight people. They're like Ryu from Street Fighter.
Anyway, other parts of there's a female professor that is like the person you interact with for the game.
Magnolia, so yep, it keeps with the tree based.
The tree themed scientist.
Mm-hmm, main mm-hmm. scientist, so that's pretty
and
cool.
And I'm sure she'll be studying the new dynamic in the game.
Which is called Dynamax.
Yes.
So for folks who don't know, the last couple of generations of the game, there's been like a gimmick kind of thing.
Yes, a new feature that isn't in any other of the ones.
Yeah, a new feature kind of thing. Like a couple of generations ago, it was the Mega Evolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can evolve certain things a little bit higher up than...
Temporarily.
Temporarily. The last one was Z Moves. Is that what they were called?
Yes.
Where you can, like, a one-time use only, like, super, super duper, like
super fighting game move. Yeah.
Yeah. And this one is called Dynamax. And
weren't there Z Moves and Mega Evolutions in the one game?
Yeah. And chances are the Mega Evolutions showed up in post-game content for the last gen. So chances are when you beat the game in this one, you'll get the access to, like, all of the previous versions of, like, the special stuff.
It's going to be a lot. So, any Dynamaxing allows you to basically supercharge any Pokemon you have.
Mm-hmm. And make them giant.
Yeah, they become, like, huge, like...
They're Godzillas.
They're Poke-Godzillas.
They're giant kaiju, and it's pretty great. And they temporarily, get for, like, three turns or
three
something.
Three turns.
Like,
you can do it once per fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the new thing.
Yeah. They didn't really go into too many details about the
what it does,
but it actually looked like it changed a couple of the attack moves.
Yeah,
which is pretty interesting. But yeah, I think it's kind of great to see these giant versions of, like, these little otherwise tiny little buddies.
Oh man,
especially the ones like Diglett, who's kind of stupid to begin with, and now he's enormous.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Everyone will tower in fear of my Dynamax Magikarp.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You think Gyarados is scary?
Flopping around. Oh, yeah.
Or Dynamax Metapod.
Mm-hmm.
World's largest Voltorb.
No, it's going to be kind of an interesting kind of mechanic. I'm interested in seeing how that kind of goes. Another thing that this game is adding is temporary, like, limited online multiplayer, which is the first time they've ever done anything
kind of
like that.
In the world, or in the game, there are places in the world, or a place in the world that's kind of a big open area.
It's called the wild area.
Called the wild area, yep. And
which is new as well, because you have a 360 camera control. It's like, almost like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it's almost like an open world Pokemon game,
mm-hmm.
temporarily.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to see different Pokemon walking around, instead of just randomly going into a battle with them. And also another thing, there is weather effects and whatnot in the wild, and that affects what Pokemon you find, when you find them, stuff like that.
That is pretty cool. But anyway, this online multiplayer thing, you can actually go and fight giant, like, specialty.
Yeah, there are areas around the map marked by a towering red light where you and three other trainers go into max raid battles against Dynamax versions of Pokemon and get an attempt to capture them.
And this seems like it is taken nearly directly from Pokemon Go.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a Pokemon Go raid.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll probably play better.
I'd hope so. Yeah. Although the raids, they've gotten pretty
good, right, yeah,
for the most part. They used to be kind of buggy, but they're okay now.
Yeah. They've definitely worked on those. So it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So they also showed off a couple of the new Pokemon. There's going to be, like, a ton. There's actually a leak. There's, like, going to be over 100 new ones this time around.
Now we're getting to the point where almost 1,000.
It's almost 1,000. Yeah. But yeah. So Jordan, what were some of the new ones that they showed off?
I liked Wooloo the best. The tiny the tiny round sheep that doesn't like to fight and just rolls away.
Yep. It's pretty great. It is super, super good. It has, like, these cool kind of dreadlock-looking things.
Yes. I also like the sad little frog.
Oh, Sobble?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the water starter?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's pretty cute.
Yeah. What were some of the other ones that they showed off? There was...
There's Corviknight.
Corviknight, yeah.
The raven Pokemon.
Yeah, that looks like a giant knight.
Yeah, he's like a giant bird with black armor.
Mm-hmm.
And... not only is he a new version of Pokemon, but he's also a travel system within the region.
He's like the taxi system. Yeah. Mm. There's like a, almost like a police box with a handle on top, and it just comes down and grabs it and, like, flies you off.
Yep.
And you said it's kind
of
like...
it's like the weird dream sequence parts of the old, old Clash of the Titans, where that girl has to go hang out with the gross swamp boy, and he sends his bird to retrieve her.
Right. Yeah. They also showed off a grass type, that flower thing that just turns into an old lady flower, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It basically turns into a white puff dandelion style.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And the one with the rock jaws. I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. It just looks like a snapping turtle.
Yeah, he's a snapping turtle. He's like a rock-eating snapping turtle.
Yeah.
Delicious.
And then, let's see, the other two starters were Score Bunny and Grokey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. With the way they designed Score Bunny, like with like the bandage across his nose and stuff, it almost looks like he would become another fighting fire type.
And I'm yeah.
But we had that last gen.
We've had that multiple gens. Actually, last gen was Fire Dark.
Oh, Incineroar is a dark.
Was Fire Dark type because
but he looks like a wrestle boy.
He was a heel wrestler, so he was a bad guy wrestler.
Ah.
But no, there's been the
Chimchar.
Chimchar is. Turned into a firefighting. There's Tepig, who is a firefighting, and the chicken.
Man, I love that tiny chicken.
That tiny chicken's pretty great. Torchic.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
He's super cute.
Yeah, but this is the second gen in a row they've made me care about a grass starter. And until Sun and Moon, I didn't care about grass starters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I had Rowlet, and now I've got Grokey and my good monkey boy. There was a team I made once. I called it my Planet of the Apes team, and it was nice. All like ape Pokemon.
Awesome, very cool. But no,
I hate it.
Okay, so the last thing that they kind of showed off with this were the box art Pokemon, the main like legendary type things,
which they had really complicated.
I cannot tell you their names.
No,
one of them like.
They both start with a Z, and otherwise...
Xana? No, that's a D&D thing.
Whatever, it's Sword Dog and
Shield Face Dog.
Shield Face Dog.
Yeah.
Yep, yes. They look virtually the same, except for one has armor on the front of its head, and the other one holds a sword in its mouth.
The other one is just a dog holding a sword. I don't know, does the sword evolve with the dog? Is it like, is that sword permanently inside that dog's mouth, or is it just like... A dog that found a sword one day, and it was like, hey, I guess I'm a Pokemon now.
He's playing Fetch with a knight.
Yeah.
Aww.
He's a good squire boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Because, like, as far as legendaries go, I feel like it's kind of lazy.
It is a little lazy.
A little lame, yeah.
And they, well, we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, and you mentioned they look a lot like Digimon. And that seems like it's becoming more and more of a trend. Like, as these games have gone on, they've become less and less like animal-type things and more like...
Monsters with a bunch of stuff all over them.
Yeah, monster with a thing.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love Digimon. I do. They're great. I always felt the show was far superior to
the Pokemon
show.
Yeah.
But the Digimon games aren't very good versus the Pokemon games being very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
basically.
But yeah, the art is, like, seriously, look up like Garurumon and you basically got these new legendaries.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, yeah, big wolf thing.
Yeah, big wolf thing. And it's, I don't know, it's a lazy design.
Yeah.
Well, and there's that whole other set of legendaries that already look like weird dogs. The one with the toilet paper head and I can't think of their names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from Gen 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care for those ones. It looks like somebody just put armor and a sword on one of those guys. And
you know what? It kind of does. You're
gave
right.
Gave them horse noises.
Yeah. They do kind of horse noises. Yeah.
At least with the last gen of legendaries, they were two very distinctly different things.
Mm-hmm.
One is a big bat, and the other one is a, I don't care because it was Sun. But
no, that thing actually looks a lot like these two dogs because it was a lion with a giant mane. It looks like the Shield Dog.
Oh, yeah. Again, lazy design.
Yeah.
Forgot it was a lion, and now I'm thinking of Saber Leomon.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So, Jordan, I'm actually kind of interested in what you think overall of this Pokemon game because, I mean, your experience with Pokemon has really just kind of been Go.
Pretty
right?
much.
I mean,
yep.
I mean, you played maybe the first couple 20 minutes or so of Let's Go Pikachu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
But otherwise, you really haven't played too many of the other games. Does this look like something, as someone from the outside, does this look like something that you would be interested in trying? Or is it just kind of more like, oh, this is just a thing?
I think I'd be more likely to pick this one up because it has that whole exploring sort of thing that Go has with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would, you know, go out of my way to like buy a Switch and all that stuff when I don't already have one, but it does look more interesting like than I would have probably not picked up past Pokemon games. I think the extra things you can do make it look a little more interesting.
I'm still waiting to see if this has any kind of maybe Go connectivity.
It does. Through the Pokemon Home thing that we talked about last week.
Oh, right. The new Pokemon Bank.
Yeah. So the Pokemon... Do you remember us talking about it a little bit?
Yeah.
So that thing connects to not only Pokemon Bank, but also Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, Pokemon and Pokemon Go, and Sword and Shield. So you can import anything that pops up for those into this one.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's kind of neat. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually kind of interested in seeing how the trading goes, because you can actually trade from the phone app.
Mm.
And that includes Sword and Shield stuff. Through the phone app, and that's actually kind of the first time they've done something like that as well.
You know, I get the point of Pokemon Bank and then its extension, Pokemon Home.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I always felt like it might have been kind of cheating a little, importing your Pokemon from previous game into new game.
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's more of an excuse for the designers to justify not putting all... at this point, what, 800 and some odd things into one game? Because by saying, okay, you can import things from the past games, they can go, okay, well, you can only get these dozen or two dozen from like a game from 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That way we don't have to put it in this brand new one. Save some space.
Sure.
And the games already have a mechanic built in where, like, if you don't have a certain like check mark or badge or whatever it is, anything over a certain level... You can't use, or like there's a high percentage that it won't listen to what you tell it, and it just kind of makes it kind of functionally not very viable until you get to the end game, basically.
True.
So I guess it kind of has that kind of checks and balance a little bit. It's still, you're right, it is still kind of cheating a little bit, but I could see them kind of justifying it a little bit. I can give them a pass a little bit.
I guess it's just my personal thing is I like. Like, when it comes to, like, Pokemon games, I like starting out and having the hardships in the beginning.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's always kind of the fun, is starting from nothing and kind of building yourself up. That's part of it, sure.
But that's just my personal take on it.
Oh, sure, I'm the same way. Well, I mean, there's nothing left for Pokemon Bank for me anyway, because I stopped paying for that, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they wipe it.
And once you stop paying for it, they wipe your account and you lose, like...
everything.
I lost, like, 700 Pokemon because I decided not to give them $5.
Huh. That's too bad.
Yeah, well,
it keeps the trading alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, well...
Clears up server space, too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I need a Charizard. I need to find somebody who has a Charizard, whatever.
Well, sure, and if you're not one of those people that likes to go around and collect them all, if you did that already, like, I can see how if you didn't like that mechanic, that would get tedious. So now you have them, and you can just import them.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about it for...
We've pretty much milked that for all it's worth.
Milk,
you know, there's going to be more. Yeah, I know there's going to be a hands-on. It's one of the E3 booth space demos that Nintendo has out, is Sword and Shield. So I'm interested in seeing what some reports of that from next week are going to be.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, that pretty much covers everything for Pokemon. From here, where do we want to go news-wise?
Let's go from super positive to super garbage.
Okay, let's do it. Let's swim in that garbage.
So, speaking of swimming in garbage, Microsoft just decided that they wanted to put out an Xbox-branded body spray?
Yeah, it's Australia and New Zealand right now. So you can't get it in the U.S.
Oh,
but
no.
But I'm sure it will come over here eventually. It's Xbox and Axe Body Spray have teamed up for a series of gamer-scented...
We're going to smell that boat coming from across the ocean.
We sure are. And I tell you what, I actually have a listing of what the scent is supposed to smell like here.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to read this out. This is directly from the Microsoft page. It's the Lynx Xbox is a fresh scent of pulsing green citrus, featuring top notes of kefir lime and winter lemon, aromatic herbal middle notes of mint and sage, and woody bottom notes of patchouli and clearwood. Now, I can't picture too much in the way of smells. My nose doesn't work quite as well as some other people, but I'm pretty sure that smells like Mountain Dew and weed.
No, I think you're right. I'd back that. I'm pretty good at imagining smells.
Okay.
I would imagine that's what a an Xbox gamer smells like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can imagine what gamers smell like. I've been to a Smash Brothers tournament or two in my time.
I've been to a Magic competition.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yes.
Ooh, that's rough. Yeah, you got me beat there. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to read the rest of this. It says, containing a range of natural essential oils, the Xbox Lynx range comes with a sleek new look and features a body spray, deodorant, and shower gel. So you can, it's a triple threat.
You can layer that smell on and it'll last all day.
Yeah. Oof. Oofa doofa. That is.
I'm not sure I want my bathroom to smell like disappointment. I will applaud them for calling it Lynx.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't done that with an Xbox since the original Xbox.
Yeah, that is kind of a callback a little bit. And this stuff is neon Xbox green.
It is.
You know, with my sensitive skin, I'm getting hives just thinking about it.
Oh yeah, no, this is rotten to the core.
Man, there's even like certain like Old Spice deodorants I can't use because it irritates.
Oh sure, yeah, no, I believe that. And you know, because this is Axe. Not only is this going to smell bad, it's going to be strong.
Powerfully bad.
It is you're going to smell these gamers from across the room.
I mean, geez, patchouli? Like, that smells like hippies. Like,
right? Like, I can get behind, like, citrusy smells. I like citrusy smells, but, like...
Well, sure, a little bit here and there.
Yeah, but you're, like, knowing the way they formula their stuff... You're going to get basically it's going to be a truck driving by and it's going to hit you in the face with a cedar plank with a lime nailed to it.
What is a winter lemon?
I think that's made up.
Okay.
I don't believe that's a thing. Although kefir lime is a thing. So maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. You have lime and lemon and mint?
Yeah. Lemon, lime, mint. That could work.
Can that work? And sage?
Sage is where you're getting into weed territory.
Yeah, sage smells an awful lot like cannabis.
Yeah.
Oof. And patchouli was, that's literally what they used patchouli for, was to cover the smell of weed back in the day. So.
Oh, man.
Man. I'm never go to a Call of Duty thing. it's so, I understand what they're doing.
Call of Duty tournaments don't smell like this.
They're going to. I'm sure they're going to go gangbusters and make a lot of money.
Oh, sure. Oh, they're going to make a ton of cash on this. They'll probably do enough that they'll make a second scent. It'll probably smell like Cheetos.
Mmm. Delicious.
Doritos and lavender.
I put a tarp down and a bunch of crushed up Doritos and just opened up every Axe body spray and just lathered around, just rolled around in it.
Get some cool ranch up in there.
Mmm. Delicious.
We call this flavor Locos Tacos.
Oh. Oh, wowzer. Okay.
Our new flavor, or our new scent, Sticky Controller. That's for you player twos out there.
All right. So moving on. Okay. So you know what? We were talking about some earthy smelling smells. So let's talk about some Swamp Thing.
All right. Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing. So the DC Universe app has been putting out shows. They did the Titans, which was
R-rated Teen Titans.
From what I understand, was pretty good. It's getting a second season. It did pretty well.
And is that where Robin did a swear?
That's where Robin did a swear. Okay. That's correct.
And then people got really mad because of how Starfire and Beast Boy looked.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Well, they were
mostly Starfire.
Mostly Starfire because people have bad opinions about things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the Doom Patrol, which was a really great limited series. Just wrapped up.
Brandon Fraser.
I loved it. Brandon Fraser
is Robot Man.
Yeah, calling back to the mummy talk from earlier.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
He does a lot of swears. In fact, he swears good. Almost constantly. Like every other word is a swear.
Isn't Timothy
Dalton, Dalton? Yeah. Is the chief in this as well. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a double callback there.
Yeah.
So their third show that they released two episodes of it at this point. Swamp Thing, which I love the character. I love Swamp Thing. I remember mm-hmm. the movies. I remember the TV series,
mm-hmm.
comics. I'm a huge, huge Swamp Thing fan. And after two episodes, DC Universe decided to cancel the series, which is a bummer. Mm-hmm. But it's not for like ratings reasons or anything like that. As it turns out, Swamp Thing is too expensive to make.
You think they would have thought of that somehow.
You would think. No, as it turns out, they filmed a lot of the show in North Carolina. And a lot of it was based, a lot of the show's budget was based around North Carolina's film and television tax
credit thing.
Tax credit thing.
Basically to entice studios to come film there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a big thing for southern states. Georgia is a huge one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They shoot a lot of stuff in Georgia.
They shoot a ton of stuff in Georgia. There, before they kind of changed things around, they used to shoot a lot of stuff up in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ohio's film and television tax break, it's changed. That's why they don't really do too much.
I mean, they shot the Avengers in Toledo.
Cleveland.
Cleveland-ish.
Cleveland. Yeah. They've shot the first one in Cleveland because it looks like New York, but they changed because of the tax break thing.
They
changed it to Toronto and Atlanta.
Yeah, where Toronto gets a lot of play for a lot of stuff.
For the other ones, mm-hmm. Yeah. But due to a clerical error, Warner Brothers got back significantly less
than what they were promised.
Than what they were promised. I think it was like they originally had budgeted for $20 million in tax breaks, and they only received 12.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a ton of money, but
I mean, it is a ton of money. But
it's a ton of money. I mean, I could do a Swamp Thing show for $12 million. Hey, someone give me $12 million. But seriously, but no. yeah, it just kind of boggles my mind that you could say, hey, this show, you're only getting $12 million to do this show. And the response is, well, we're going to cut 3 episodes off of the season and cancel it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that they didn't plan ahead, that's not enough money for you to keep making a television show. Like,
yeah, and I think part of this comes back to the idea like of studios looking at the Netflix model and going, oh, hey, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that Netflix is a multi-billion dollar operation because so many people already have Netflix.
I mean,
and they've generated so much cash.
Netflix is almost a utility at this point.
At this point, just about. And you have people like DC Universe or the CBS All Access, which are both Warner apps, which I don't understand why they're separate apps. It's kind of splitting the market, which has come back to bite them because that's why they're not making the money.
To be fair, Disney's doing the same thing. They own Hulu and they have, like, they own 100% of Hulu now,
mm-hmm.
but they're still rolling out Disney Plus.
There's a difference, though, because I think Hulu is going to be their ABC and Fox where people are going to pay out the nose for the Disney Plus app.
I'm going to pay it.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, yeah, it's just kind of weird to me that
they split it like that.
That they're splitting the market, and it's coming back to bite them because neither one of their apps are making enough money to produce their own shows. Anyway, we've hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week. Before we do that, Jordan, thank you very much for being part of the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. So anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
We have an email address, staff@nerdoverload.com. If you want to have any comments or questions or topic ideas,
mm-hmm.
Send them in.
You could subscribe to our YouTube channel for any of our visual content.
Just do a search for Nerd Overload. Yep. It's the best way to do
Nerd
it.
Nerd Overload TV.
I think we can still find
I'm not
find
Cody.
Out that.
This is not my part.
Let's see. We're also on various podcast aggregators like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, places like that.
We have t-shirts you can buy.
Yeah.
You can follow the store link on our website, or you could go to bit.ly/nerdoverloadtee.
Mm-hmm. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you want to support the show, get the show a little bit early, you know, some other cool stuff, head over there. And I want to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his music over at davidpencil.com. So anyway, I think that's pretty much has it. So thank you all again for listening, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.